Welcome everyone to the Green Room podcast. This year it feels fitting to reflect on the businesses and the business owners I've had the privilege to work alongside over the past 25 years. It's been an amazing 25 years and I've met some extraordinary people who have built unbelievable businesses and I've had the privilege to walk beside them for much of that journey. I want to bring you those insights, those things that really move the needle, not just in the day-to-day, but also in the bigger picture. Those things that provide a great business outcome, but also the life and freedom that you as a business owner really desire. So buckle up, welcome aboard, and I look forward to talking to you through the podcast. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Green Room podcast. Today I want to talk to you about the people stuff. I probably spend about, 80% of my day in mentor meetings talking about the people stuff. It's an area where business owners and leaders can really get caught up in emotion, can really second guess themselves, can try and find meaning where none exists, and sometimes miss meaning where it does exist. It's a complex environment. As one of my favorite people in the world, Lisa O'Neill, says, people are messy. And yes, they are. And one of the main things that we need to look at in managing people and making it as easy on ourselves and cutting the stress out and removing the emotion is putting what Adam Grant, the Stanford professor and New York Times best-selling author, calls scaffolding. Putting those structures around our people so that they are supported, so they understand where the boundaries are, so they understand their delegated authority, so they understand how they progress through their careers. And, you know, it can be quite confusing because as entrepreneurs and business leaders and owners, we tend to make up the rules ourselves a bit as we go along. That's how come we're in this role. We haven't signed up for a job. We've signed up to run our own businesses, to create freedom and wealth in a lifestyle that we want and to do things our way. And so for us, expecting that of other people is quite normal. But anti-intuitively, the issue becomes that people actually perform best when they do have scaffolding around them, when they know what those expectations are that we put forward, that they know what success looks like. They know what they can and can't do. And that creates a level of certainty that biologically we're all wired to crave. And, you know, that has served us really well in running patterns through our head that we've seen before that create certainty, that give us comfort. But when we are in a business environment that's ever dynamic, ever changing, quite often the skill we need to have is to be uncomfortable. We need to challenge the status quo. We need to do things differently. We need to problem solve in complexity. And when we do problem solve in complexity by navigating our way through different scenarios and navigating our way through different possibilities, obviously by definition, we're dealing with the uncertain. And when we're dealing with the uncertain, biologically, that's not comfortable. So as a leader, what can you do about it? What framework could possibly work? Well, I think one of the key elements that we need to consider is meeting our people where they're at, not where we want them to be or where we're at. You know, we spend so much time in our own head that it's sometimes we have to be reminded that not everyone's at the same place as we're at, and not everyone's at the same stage of development, and not everyone gets what we get or has the information that we have. So meeting them where they're at is, I think, is a really critical management theme that we don't hear enough of. And when I look at that, what does that really mean? Well, I look at two elements that keep getting fed back to me by my leaders and coach and leaders and owners that I mentor. And the first one was they can't do what I can do. So that's a capability issue. They can't think like me. They can't problem solve like me. They're not as capable as me. So I might as well do it myself. And whilst people know that's not the answer they should be telling me, pretty much that's the answer they tell me is, look, it just got too hard. I just did it myself. It was too hard to teach people. It was too hard to take people on the journey. And I knew it would be done right. And fair enough too, to be honest. 2 years ago, I put out a survey to my client base in December and asked them a whole range of questions just to try and really understand what it is that they need from me and what it is they need from their businesses and what it is that they really want. And when I ask them about why they can't delegate or get people to do what they once did to create freedom in their business, it always came back to what appeared to be trust. I don't trust that they're going to do it well enough. I don't trust that they have the skills. I don't trust that they'll do it like me. I don't trust that they won't do damage to the client relationship. And that trust component is massive in trying to create freedom and empower others around us. So when I look at the two elements of how we might meet people where they're at, I think about capability and I think about trust. And when I've got an individual with potentially low capability, so they might be new in the role, they might have been very senior technicians in their previous role and we've promoted them into a management role, that's obviously normally how it happens. But they know the technical and they know the operational, but they don't have the management skills yet. So they're lacking in capability. And if that's someone that we don't know very well or we haven't had a working relationship with, they haven't earned our trust either and fairly, we probably haven't earned theirs. So when capability is low and they haven't got the trust yet, it's a risk management strategy to limit their exposure to things that can do damage to us, limit customer exposure, limit team exposure where you know it might be complex scenarios they're not quite ready for yet. I remember when I was president of a cricket club and we had a lot of really young players coming up through and we had a real gap in that middle tier player, that 20 plus player that had sort of knew their game and had been around for a while. So we were putting kids up into senior competitions, into A grade competitions, who weren't quite ready yet. And so we had to think of ways to limit their exposure to the opening bowlers, to limit exposure to the new ball, to limit exposure to the gun batsmen where we could. So we could build their confidence and gradually increase their exposure as we built their capability and we built the trust in them. So when capability is low and trust is low, we need to limit their exposure, minimum exposure, and put a tight fence around them as we build their capability gradually and slowly and we build the trust as we get confidence in them. The next phase is where we've got highly capable people, and that might be, they might be technical people, they might be people that we've brought into the organization for technical skills, whether it be a management skill or whether it be any skill, a welding skill, whatever it looks like, an office skill, a drafting skill, whatever, an engineering skill, whatever it looks like. And where we have evidence of their capability when they come in, we haven't yet got that trust. And remember when I was talking to my business leaders and owners around what they needed and what they talk to is the concept of trust. So what do we do when we've got someone highly capable, but the trust isn't there yet? Well, we need to coach them. We need to expose them to scenarios under strict supervision. So whilst the fence around them isn't as tight as it is in the limit phase, in the coach phase, we're very directive. We're giving very specific directions. We're giving very specific examples. We're walking them through exactly the tasks that we want to do. And there's four elements to that, of course. One is tell them what you want to do, make sure they understand the scope of who's involved and what the implications and all the different information they need to be able to do the job. Then be able to give them timeframes when you expect the job to be completed by. And then finally, we need to be able to create an audit process. We need to be able to check back on them to make sure they've done what they said they were going to do. And that's how we build trust. I remember as a young chef, I was a chef in a former life when I worked in the law courts. And as a chef, I used to do the close because I worked during the day in the courts and then at night I worked in restaurants through Melbourne. And when I was doing the close of a night, I had four different managers that used to supervise me at different times. They're on, depending on when they were rostered on. Three of them used to want to get out of there quick smart. So I had three people in my brigade normally, and we would belt through. We'd clean down the stainless steel, we'd turn off the stuff, we'd shut down the fryers, bang, we're out of there for three of them. One of them, though, she was serious. She had a torch. She used to shine it in the corner of all the fridges to make sure we cleaned them properly. She used to inspect every little thing. She used to make sure the glad wrap was covering the food properly, all the things that she should have done. And I knew that when she was on, I was an extra 20 minutes that night to get everything sorted, and my brigade absolutely knew what the expectation was because she set the expectation very clearly. She told us what success looked like. She was very deliberate in that. She absolutely gave us time frames around when we needed to be out of there by and when the close could start and when it needed to finish. But then she checked back really well. And that's the coaching phase. So when we've got high capability, but the trust isn't there yet, we limit the exposure under strict supervision and we're very directive. We coach. What happens though when we might have someone that we know, we trust them, they've come through our organization, we know them in some form and we have great trust in them, but they might be in a new role where they have low capability, they haven't got the skills just yet. Well, this is the exciting phase. This is those emergent leaders that I love to talk about, how we expose those emergent leaders through some sort of accelerated exposure program. We have to be able to give them as much information as possible. We want them to experience as much as possible whilst mitigating the risks to the organization. Trust is very high, but capability is not there yet. So in this section, what we're looking to do, we're looking to mentor. Difference between coaching and mentoring. Coaching is very directive. Mentoring is very scenario based. What would you do here? If this happened, what would you do there? And what we're actually developing is exposing them to as many scenarios as possible. We're actually putting those scenarios to the test to see what they would do. We're giving them very clear feedback on what we would do. So it does two things. One, it allows them to understand how we have problem solved, and they can create running patterns, if you like, on how they would use that information in the future when a similar scenario arises. And the second thing is it helps our people under us, the emergent leaders that we're mentoring through, to be able to understand how we think so that we get a much better result, a much more consistent result on how we would do it. So when we've got high trust and low capability, we accelerate exposure, we mentor, we run scenarios, we give very direct feedback, and we help people to be able to problem solve in complexity. That's the skill we are teaching. When there's a problem, what patterns will they recognize? How will they work through that complexity and unpack it? And then how will we accelerate their exposure to build capability as fast as we can into that emergent leader group? And then finally, when we've got high capability and high trust, we want to empower our people. We don't want to smother them. We don't want to micromanage them. And how we do that is we give them a big paddock to roam in with delegated authority, what they can and can't do. We empower them in a number of ways. We might give them a budget that they can work within, and once that budget is authorized, that's their budget to spend and use as they see fit. We might give them a team and give them hire and discipline and performance manage powers within that team. So we let them have a very big paddock, but we fence it. And we empower them to to work within delegated authorities. And we really try and help them get the best out of themselves and really create agency. And that's what we're trying to get our people to. High capability, high trust, empower them to get the job done. So where does that lead? Well, this is a great diagnostic tool for your team. I want you to go back. Here's my challenge to you. I want you to go back to your team and look at where the different people are. And I've mapped this through in a 600 people organization, and we've been able to really give our senior leaders the tools to be able to meet our people where they're at and really get them from limiting exposure up into coaching and then get them to that point. They're moving from a coaching environment across to a mentoring environment, and then ultimately move them to an empowered environment where they've got a big paddock to roam in, they've got agency within their delegated authority, and we really maximize their potential as employees. So we meet them where they're at. So that's my challenge to you. Go back to your team, do this diagnostic process, understand where they are, and put training and systems and processes in place around coaching, mentoring, limiting exposure, or empowering that really maximize your people with the aim of giving you the freedom you want, a business by your design, and a business that really serves you.
If you like this episode of the Green Room podcast, I invite you to jump on my website, chrisgreen.au, and check out other episodes. Also, I have a fortnightly newsletter and video. So jump on board and check it out.